It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy shit. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a urine-filled crepe.
Oh!
Number to call in should you choose 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, clicking on live broadcast. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pip Helix.
Hey, everybody.
And special guest playing the part of Joe Curry, much more attractive in a mild manner, Jennifer G. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. Joe is out this week, but we hope to have Joe next week. He had some family business to attend to, but he is perfectly healthy. But we hope to have Joe in studio next week when we lose Pip.
Yes.
And we bring in Russ.
Well, I won't be lost.
I will
be replaced temporarily by our lovely sensei.
So then, yes, by Russ, and then we're all off for a week. So
yeah. And we're not telling you what we're doing.
Well, I'm working. I don't know what you fuckers are doing. I'm working.
I'm laying around.
So on the show, an outstanding display of spite at Donald Trump's expense. School of fools as kids are being threatened with being sent to foster care if their parents don't pay their school lunch bill. Denying the Holocaust may be a bad career move for a principal. Teacher writes WTF on a student's paper. Some students put crap in the crepes. And this a special topic for Pip. Halloween may be moving. We know she's a very pro Halloween, so we'll get her hot take on Halloween in July. Why the fuck not? And the first time ever, Pip is producing Bitter on Twitter.
So God help us all.
We will see how this is. And the reason why there's so many School of Fools tonight is because Jennifer G is a teacher and a librarian. So it's nice to get a little inside scoop and maybe some shared experiences about what is going on
yeah.
in the school. So
no cum in my crepes, hopefully.
Well, actually, I'll be whipping some up later. You stick around. Pip has never complained.
Excellent mouthfeel.
Yeah, no.
Salty but sweet.
You're never leaving. The cum crepes are delicious. Now, don't let Pip make a chocolate cake for you. It's been known to put a shock jock on the injured reserve. She disabled Anthony Cumia with a birthday cake.
It was a big birthday cookie, but I took him out.
Almost killed the man.
I know.
But cum crepes never hurt anybody.
No. I'm not going to say what else was in those cookies.
So anything going on, Pip?
You know, there was one story that I didn't get to tell for last year. Jesus.
Glad we can go back.
Let me backtrack for 1 second and say that there's something. I am going to be completely unraveled this evening. There's something about Jennifer G that completely, like, spins my world on its axis. I don't know how many times I've gotten in the car with her and driven in the wrong direction. Places I habitually go. I come here every Tuesday. I got in the car, and I got on the highway the wrong direction.
Wait, but don't blame her. Last week, you wound up in Curious Joel. I mean, see what she does? She immediately looks to throw you under the bus.
It's a good minute.
Thing. Yeah, the first thing she talks about, she's trying to throw you under the bus. Good thing I'm here to go, no, you're a fuck-up on your own.
Oh, I
can't.
That's
good to know, because every time we're in the car, she fucks up the route, and I'm like, do you really live here?
Well, you know what Pip has? a GPS from 8 years ago that she's never taken out of the box.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Everybody's gonna be under the bus tonight. I handed the GPS over to.
I fucking drive that bus.
I know you do. Ding ding, my stop. I asked Mr. Helix to be in charge of the GPS, and that was a non-starter.
No, here's what you should
have. He handed it back to me and said, I don't understand.
No, here's what you should have done. Hun, there's a concert I want to go to.
Yeah.
I think you'd really like it. Can you put the... I don't know where how to get to this venue. Can you put the directions in the GPS? As a bonus, it's in August and it's outside, and I know how much you love burning me. So can you do this?
And it's Mott the Hoople.
Yeah.
Yes, that would definitely make it happen.
I listened to a Def Leppard CD that I bought. It's all covers. It was a Mott the Hoople song. I'm like, oh. I guess I like a Mott the Hoople song.
Say, look at that.
That's okay.
Look, you go.
But what doesn't he understand?
There was something to do with you had to go on some website to set it up, and he got verklempt.
So why didn't you do that part?
Well, you know, it's sitting in my pile of to do, and
just buy a new GPS. Well, you got it on the phone now, but
yeah. Well, I've got it on the phone. He's got it in the car. It's kind of like outlived itself. So I think, you know, we're gonna have a garage sale. I think that's gonna be part of it.
People want 8-year-old actually. I sold an old GPS that barely works, so people will buy it.
They will.
If you price it cheap enough.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, so what? So what?
So last week when I was at the I'm Melting concert from hell on Long Island, we sat down next to, across from, some very interesting people, and I just wanted to pass by one of these woman's theories. She said... I don't exactly remember how this got started. She was obviously a resident of Long Island, and she said something about they were having big problems with MS-13. And I don't know if that's true
remember
or not.
Big problems were like MSG.
Yeah.
Chinese food that like gave us a headache.
That was the biggest problem.
That was the biggest problem. We got to do something with these Chinese restaurants. They should have to put that they cook with MSG on. That's the shit we worried about.
And you have to tell them that you're allergic to it, or they'll put it in anyway, and they'll lie about it.
Oh,
yeah, you know.
Wow.
I
didn't know you were a Chinaphobic. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's my problem.
Maybe they should go back to where they came from, Pip.
I would never say that. Mm-hmm. But their MSG
and
should go back where
dead
where
ducks
it came
hanging
from
their windows. Is that what you're doing? You're just throwing the Chinese. Look at you. That's why you're the most racist person on the show.
Listen, if there's dead meat hanging down here in this basement, I would not be surprised. Given the normal temperature down here, but not ducks.
Only dead. I have the only dead meat in this place.
Yeah,
it's marriage, baby. It's dead meat.
I don't think we have to worry about those crepe ingredients.
Probably not.
Nothing's happening. So the lady's telling me, and she's, I guess, in her 30s.
Wait, is this another conversation that you struck up?
No.
Okay, because you always strike up conversations.
I do. But you know what? She's just as guilty.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, she's a conversation striker-upper. And
for this, yes. Out in society, nay.
No, actually, she'll talk to more people that I rejected talking to, she's talking to.
Who do you reject?
I know, right? That doesn't leave
Come
a lot.
Come on, now.
No, that's true.
I'm selective. You are, I mean, dogs.
She talks to anybody.
Dogs, pet. Yeah. You know, iguanas, it doesn't matter. She's stopping to pet the dog, the iguana.
Yeah.
Talk to the people.
Sure.
I'm like, come on, let's go. We got places to be.
Let's go. Wynwood hits the stage in 3 hours. We don't want
to
miss our spot.
We have to be there. Yeah. You don't understand.
I understand.
Front of the stage, Hammond's side. We have agenda. We have an agenda.
Sure.
Yeah, we do.
You just happen to be at a concert that's inside.
Yeah, very. Yes. If I have a stage to lean on, it's really good.
God forbid a seat to sit in.
Oh, that would be glorious.
Yeah,
but
you're not worthy.
No, apparently not.
I treated you good with the Aerosmith concert.
I
Inside,
know.
Air conditioning, a seat, nobody standing in front of you. I treated you real good.
You did. That's why
you.
I follow you around like a puppy.
As well you should.
So we sit down under one of the only areas of shelter, the eating tent. And we go get our food and we sit down. So you
the
have
eating, like it's a trough.
It was. It was. So the tables are not that clean and you have to sit with anybody who's there. So there's a couple that's sitting there. They have their own copper mugs for the drinks that are
and toasting.
Available.
They'll be toasting.
Huzzah!
Exactly.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I see other people walking around with mugs, so I guess it's a thing here. Okay, that wasn't too scary. They were nice, but the lady starts telling me about how, oh, they have, Oh, she started complaining about the taxes.
In Long Island.
Yeah. Okay. And so I said, well, you know, she wanted to know why they were taxed just as much in the winter as they were in the summer, because the winter they don't have as many bills.
What?
Yeah, right.
Why are you even talking about taxes at a concert?
This is the eating part. The main stage is done, and we're sitting close to the sort of mid-stage area, and they weren't that entertaining. So she starts talking to me about taxes, which was weird.
I'd rather listen to the less entertaining band.
Yeah, they're not. Then they ended, and it was just us and the weird couple.
Now, God,
the guy is ignoring us, but she starts talking. I mean, this time she's talking at me.
You know what you should have done?
I'd start this.
Should have picked your nose.
Oh, you know what? No.
Yes, that'll end the conversation.
It wasn't that bad. It started getting really weird. She said that about the taxes, and I'm like, well, that's not how it works. You know, they have a budget.
She didn't know who she was talking to.
No. I actually know something about this.
There was a time.
I know about these things. So
she
I said,
no idea.
No. There's a budget for the whole year, and, you know, they have to pay for everything all year, like police. Oh, she says, police don't get paid enough. Oh, okay. She's really, and I'm thinking there's got to be a cop of the family or something.
Or, you know, he was a member of the Village People and did not get paid royalties on the music.
and you know, the Native American guy got his land stolen, so it's
listen, the Native American guy got too much. He should just be happy to be here. As a matter of fact, he should go back to where he came from, too.
I'm just letting that marinate. So she says, oh, we have a big problem with MS-13. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just taking a word for it.
They are pretty awful.
Brentwood,
especially.
They just kill people. They're, like, brutal.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're the Hasidic Jews up here where they're roaming the streets. I mean, it's not so pronounced, but if you do run into them, they are an awful, awful gang.
They're right, carrying machetes.
Yeah. Basically.
You never know where you're going to wind up in the woods.
Thank you. Good segue to my point.
That's why I do it.
She says, you know what they should do? You know, they bury all they leave all the bodies in the woods. And I was like, I've heard.
I remember when they used to find, like, porn magazines in the woods.
Yeah, or like hobos. You know, you'd occasionally find, like, something set up in the woods. Like, you know, somebody stole a lawn chair and a tarp. But yeah. You never did?
I was not hobo searching. I was porn searching.
I wasn't either, but that's what I found. So she says what they should do is if they cut down all of the woods down to the ground, it would take them about 30 years to grow back, and they'd have no place to dump bodies, and then the murders would stop.
Here's what you need to evaluate.
The looks I'm getting from both people.
See, you're looking at, like, what type of loon is this?
Yes.
I'm looking at, these are the type of loons that go to the fucking music you like to sing. That's how I'm looking at it. It's like, you know, you bring this upon yourself. Because this was not the Blondie Elvis Costello concert.
No.
This was the leftover parts from bigger bands concert. So.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I'd never been to this festival before.
She's a leftover part from Sane People.
Yes, yes, yes. The voices in your head, here they were embodied, sitting across from me at the food trough.
But it is a very interesting conversation. If we just chop down all the trees, the murders will stop.
They'll have no place to put the bodies. And I said,
but what about a field? I mean, people have been, or a river?
I said,
East River is still there.
Yeah.
If we just drudge the rivers...
I said, you know, the mafia for decades was killing people and throwing them in the river with a cement brick off there. If you want to kill, you'll find places to put the bodies.
And then you should.
And she said, do you think?
You should have given her, like, a really creepy look. Like, yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Well, we have a friend, a Barry from England, that when he and his daughter came, other Wynwood fans... Ugh. And when they came, I met them.
Like a fucking plague.
It is.
I don't know how people live like that.
A pox on your music.
God, just infested with Wynwoodites.
Ugh. Or a small cult.
Yes, it is a small cult. And
I don't know how people live like that. Maybe a representative should go back and help the Wynwoodites. That's what should happen. I don't know. Ugh.
We're everywhere. Anyway, so there's...
Usually in cities.
Well, you know what I found is that if I stay up late enough, there's a Wynwood fan up at every hour of the day on Facebook. Yeah. I can talk to
for
somebody.
Real.
Oh, yes. For real.
Well, there's 12 of you, so they work around the clock.
Well, again, so it works.
There's at least 163.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Our cult has a number and a name, which I will not disclose here. Anyway.
You can't name your Wynwood club here?
It's a secret club.
So then,
we could name it.
We could name it.
The band knows us as this name. So.
Yes, what's the name of the club?
The Maniacs.
Ooh! like that you couldn't share?
Well, it's
I'll fucking reveal your name. You keep on giving me bullshit like that. How do you like them apples? The Maniacs was the big secret. Was it like a secret Facebook group that nobody
yes.
can, you can't find the secret group anyway.
I know.
You can still say the name of it. Nobody can fucking break into your precious little group
and
download
invited.
All your candid Wynwood photos.
We don't even have that.
Except the aerial shots.
Oh, yeah.
What are you putting your credit card numbers up on the Wynwood site? Really? Like, does anything...
I like to.
There's nothing of value in your secret Maniacs Wynwood site. Of all the things...
Well, I would tend to disagree.
Nothing that anybody...
Define value.
Things yes. that people want to steal. Things that have a monetary value that can be traded on the black market, which is the shit I deal with.
No, except for just, like, you know, like, normal sex trade. There's nothing that we have of value.
Really?
No. We don't even have that, really.
What are you guys, wife swapping on there? Is that what you're doing?
I'll never tell. Just because we met for the first time face-to-face in a hotel room does not mean...
It's your strategy. I know
that your Jennifer G. here was on the sex trade on our group.
Doesn't mean she wasn't. But I don't even know why you would keep the Maniacs a secret. Out of all the shit you revealed on this show about your ass alone.
Yes, I know. That's volumes. Wait a minute. I hope we have those files to upload onto the new website.
They're up there already.
Okay,
but
good.
But like out of like all the things,
Pip's
I
ass
can't...
files.
Yes,
she's been quite prolific with her butt. Out of all the things, I can't reveal the name of my secret Facebook Wynwood fan group.
I just did. Relax.
If Jen G wasn't here, you would fucking have taken that to your grave.
Yes, I would.
Which could be any minute.
Well, I wanted eye-to-eyeball contact that this was like...
Is she like a member of the board of the Maniacs? You had to confirm that you're allowed?
No, but I looked at her for reasonableness. Is this something that I want to disclose or not?
Yeah, I mean, the band calls us the Maniacs, so...
They know who we are.
When we show up at shows, yes. They're like, oh, are maniacs there other maniacs here?
Because they're 70-year-old men. They're happy anybody's showing up. They're thrilled they can still remember faces. Of course they are. That's why they label you the Maniacs. Oh, it's them. I vaguely remember them from a day and a year and a concert many years ago. Yes.
Oh, God. One story
at a time. Get through your serial.
The murder?
Did you finish the Lady in the Woods story?
No, not completely. No, she was really surprised that I said that, you know, hacking down the woods where they're putting the bodies would not stop murder.
She didn't know who she was talking to.
I'm not exactly Murder Incorporated. I don't have...
No,
like,
you're Maniacs Incorporated.
Yes, yes. But I don't have, like, this great knowledge.
You gave a very sound answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And do you know, when I first met Barry, one of our main Maniacs, and his daughter...
Ugh. Is it a father-daughter thing they do together?
She's not a Maniac.
No,
she's not a fan.
She wants to have sex.
Yes, one day sure.
Was she like in her 20s?
No, she's
late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Yes, of course she's not a maniac.
So they were visiting New York and I went and I visited them. And
that's nice.
Of course, we've seen each other many times since. But I mean, the first time we were just chatting away at lunch and I said, I don't even know why I came up. Maybe because the Sopranos were on. And I said something about, well, the East River is not a river that you would swim in. It's got dangerous currents and that's why the mob buries the bodies
there.
You're
like the worst Big Apple tour guide ever.
Yes.
See Pip on the red double-decker bus trolling down Broadway. And there was a mob hit over here on this corner. And this corner is where you get the best blowjob for the least amount of money.
Don't ask me how I know.
The best peep shows were right here on the corner.
Yeah, that's where I saw a dead guy.
Now, if you look down the block over there, see that apartment building all the way down the end? I got herpes in that building over there. You're like the worst tour guide for the city.
I told you never to tell that story
on
the air.
Well, we're revealing Maniacs in this tonight. Yes. All bets are off, Pip.
So Barry and his daughter, who, you know, roll with the flow, and they're just
hanging
like,
out with dad.
They were like,
mom's an asshole. Dad's the cool parent.
They were like, oh my God, like, what the hell is wrong
because
with her?
Because you're wrong and twisted, and normal people can't deal with that. You're at home here. It's fine here. It's just a warm-up here as we get
this
into
is a
the
safe
evening.
Space.
No, yes. It's not safe at all.
No.
But that's just how she warms into the evening, and we accept it, and we love it, and we build upon it, and we embrace it. We accept you for all your faults.
Thank you.
Though they be many. Here. We love you here. But
thank you.
But people who have not been as exposed to you
are frightened, I find.
As well they should be.
I know, and I didn't realize that I
but
was.
But the wild thing is that the lady talking about chopping down the woods
yes.
was not frightened of you.
And no.
You were, so
I was
strange
scared of
turning
her.
The tables
you,
for you.
You made a friend.
Yes.
You made a friend.
No, I didn't. No, I was like, couldn't wait for them to leave. I'm like, this Dumbo thinks that murder is solved by getting rid of the burial sites.
But I blame you for this.
Because
you're too willing to talk to people. This is specifically why I don't. Because I don't need more stupid shit. Every Tuesday I get 3 hours of stupid shit. All during the week I deal with fucking stupid people that don't do their jobs properly. I don't need to deal with other stupid shit that has no bearing on my life just because they need a friend to talk to.
You write the show, dude. So if there's stupid shit going on here for 3 hours.
Oh, I didn't write this. I didn't write this little episode right here. See, again, she's trying to throw somebody else under the bus for her own actions.
Everyone lives under my bus. Everyone.
It's quite the bus.
My bus is up on a pylon. A whole
bus
sloth.
Or bust?
This is just a sports bra. My bus is up on a mountain.
Because I've been under your bust. It's nice. It's shady.
Excuse me? What? When was that?
I go out from under the sun.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was that really hot day.
Yeah, exactly. We're at a concert that Mr. Helix insisted
needed
on.
Needed shelter.
It's August. Wait, can we find a desert to see a show in? That would be lovely.
Hang over here onto the right when it's slightly larger. I think you'll get a little more shade.
It was like a rainforest. It was like dripping from above.
Perspiration dripping. Yeah, no, it's not, yeah, that part's unfortunate.
So how did you excuse yourself from this woman?
They got up and left finally.
They had enough of you.
Because we were still eating. And now, meanwhile, we have our friend Mercedes with us. So Mr. Helix and Mercedes are having a nice conversation. And I'm dealing with... You chop down the woods and they have no place to put
because
the bodies.
You know what they do? They know how to look fucking occupied. That's what they do.
I know.
They know how to look busy, whether staring at a phone, looking over yonder, talking to the people you came to the event with. They know how to keep to ward off. Go, I'm not really welcoming. Let's not have a conversation. Whereas you like just to jump into fray. Hey, I'm lonely. How about you?
I'm crazy person magnet. I'm so relieved when uncrazies come
you're
over.
You're so friendly.
Ugh.
It makes me hate you.
Yeah, like the time in San Francisco, the lady that probably had several personalities.
I
that
didn't bring crazy
wouldn't
Mary
leave you
to
alone.
Us. She wouldn't leave me alone.
She would not
they
leave
recognize
you alone.
Their own. It's like when two dogs sniff each other's butt.
Yeah.
Crazy
yeah.
recognizes crazy.
No, you know what? They I think that there's something in my DNA that they can sniff. You know,
you
she had
pheromones.
A crazy mom. She, know, she knows what I'm like.
You bring it upon yourself.
I do. I put out this come talk to me vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know how to turn that off.
Like, I've always been the one where people, like, friends want to confide in me. I have that vibe. You have, you look nuts. Let's chat. And I've been with you. I'd never seen it before until Vegas. Like, this is fucking annoying. If I had to hang out with her all the time, I'd never get anywhere because she'd be engrossed in stupid, trivial conversations.
Oh, look at the dog. Oh, that's so good. He's a good dog.
He's
got to
talk
Who's
to the cab driver. To the Uber. Who the fuck cares? He's just driving us 5 miles to get to a stupid haunted museum that we're gonna have to wait outside in the fucking heat again.
Going out to eat with her is the worst. We get the life. She gets the life story out of every server, bartender. By the time we leave, we're like planning to have Thanksgiving dinner together.
How about we get our appetizers before you introduce yourself? Can we get the ball rolling?
I can't.
You're fucking ridiculous. That's why you got to go with you to a buffet. They're not around as much. You could just talk to the other people at the chicken and broccoli, but they want to fucking skedaddle and get to the crab legs. That's why you got to go strictly to buffets with you. God forbid there's a sit down with a waiter and the busboy and the chef and the owner. How is everything? Well, let me just tell you. No! You say it's good. They move on with their life. You move on with yours.
No, it's never going to be that way.
This, it could be.
No.
It could be.
My father, Papa Helix, he ingrained this in me. Yeah.
You know what you need?
What?
Blunt force trauma to the skull. It will change
things. How do you know that I haven't?
No, but another one.
Another good shot? Yeah. Oh,
it'd be maddening. You're so friendly. It's annoying. You don't belong in the Northeast. You're not of us. Go to the Midwest. Yes. Go to the South, where that shit's appreciated. We don't got time for that shenanigans here. We have things to do and places to go. And you know I don't want to entertain that shit, because I find most people, quite frankly, stupid.
Well, now, you and the missus were looking at me like, how could you pass this up? When we were in Vegas and they got roped into one of these, hey, you want to hear about our timeshares? We'll give you breakfast deals.
No, we'll give you passes. More than breakfast.
Okay. Breakfast and passes.
And a free stay.
Yeah.
If you're going to offer me, like right now, I have 3 hours to fill. I'm entertaining a conversation I normally wouldn't. I am getting something from this.
Right.
After the show, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out. I don't want to hear it. But so I thought I was getting something from
it. No. No. You were going to be 5 hours in and tortured.
That's fine. I can deal with 5 hours. I've done it before. I'll deal with you. Well, first of all, it wasn't supposed to be 5 hours. It's supposed to be 2.5, and that's where the problems went wrong. It's supposed to be 2.5. I can deal with 2.5 hours of bullshit. I've dealt with you for like over 20 years. I have a high threshold to a degree. But I'm not going to invite shit that I'm not getting anything out of. Like if you had said to me, I talked to this woman because I knew I was going to have a great story for the show, I would have gone, good girl.
Good. It just kind of happened.
But if you said, as I'm talking to her, I'm thinking I can either excuse myself from this situation like a normal human being or engage in this because I know it'll be a good show conversation. I go, that Pip's a trooper. God bless her. You know, she puts herself in these awkward situations so she can bring back something to the show. I'd be praising you. But I know that's not what you were doing.
No.
No. So you get nothing.
No. I get no credit. This one I didn't bring on, but I could not extricate myself. And once she started saying one preposterous thing after the other, I thought you were
on Facebook.
I was in. Talking to somebody on your page.
Oh, trust me, my dear. You have amped your political game. We've talked about this on the show. You're getting into much more of these conversations than I am.
Oh, I know. No, there was a guy on Davin's page that said something that was just so stupid. And it's like 2 a.m. and I'm arguing with this person.
I was already asleep.
He was done. And I'm like, how the fuck can you say this and then turn right around in the same breath and say that, and then other people that are liberals on your friends start going, yeah, what she said, yeah, you know, and the guy was like, oh, you're all stupid, and it's like,
he
oh
didn't
yeah
say that.
I'm paraphrasing.
He didn't say anything like that.
He said you're all ridiculous.
He said something I said was being ridiculous, and I pointed out.
No, then he said, no, later on, you went to bed. He said,
I can still read it the next morning. Yeah, it doesn't disappear. No, it's not like the Maniacs. It wasn't a secret group.
and lucky for you.
I'm sure everybody's going to be Googling the Maniacs on Facebook.
And they need to be invited in, so fuck y'all.
Yeah. Dare to dream.
I started arguing with him about something. It started all
over.
But
you started
again.
Doing that now. It used to be just kittens on your page and like evil overlord stories.
Yeah, yeah. Free time
is making you devolve. I like it.
I'm more and more angry. You know,
you got a lot more time to be angry.
Yeah, I do.
You're like one of those people that watch. You don't happen to watch this channel, but one of those people has nothing better to do than watch Fox News all day. You're becoming the liberal version of that. You're not there yet. You're not angry. You're not ridiculous. You're not name calling though. But a couple more months without gainful employment, I look forward to the further devolvement. I have high hopes that you're going to be quite the slinger on my page.
I did get into it with this one guy who spells his name in a feminine way, but his name is Johnny. And
spells it with an I and a heart over it?
Yeah, well, with an I. And
is that feminine?
No heart. Yeah, it is a more feminized spelling. So people are like, who is this woman?
I'm named Fluid. Who are you? you call yourself a liberal? You know what? I don't look at names as feminine or masculine. I just accept them for what they are. It could be an I today, a Y tomorrow, sometimes E. I don't care. I'm not like you.
Okay, Gandhi. So
don't be racist. I wear one white sheet around myself and don't eat a meal, and you say that about me.
Yes, because I am the most racist member of the show.
Now we have it. Now we have you.
I just
it's
like
on
that
record.
It's on record. I finally said it. You happy?
No,
I said something. I call the backyard of our house the back 40. And then all of a sudden he went into this rant about how many slaves do I have working it and everything. And all of a sudden now I'm the most recent member of the show.
Well, that and what you're saying now.
Yeah, well,
you just admitted it. So really, it's not ridiculous.
So well, what did you say to Johnny?
Oh,
the feminine spelling.
Johnny.
She said faggot.
No, I did not. No, he started saying ridiculous things, just like
on your page.
Yeah.
But you don't know who this is in real life.
No, I do know him.
Okay.
No, we have met in real life, and
is he a maniac?
No. Okay. He was a nice enough person, you know. Okay. I'm sure he's nice, but he is that angry old man. You get off of my yard, and you go back to where you came from. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so we got into it. And then he started saying things. Well, I'm just playing devil's advocate. No, no. You believe the shit that you're spouting.
See,
don't you
say,
start with
Joe
that.
Joe always says devil's advocate. I was going to say this to Joe. And remind me next time. Joe always calls, well, I'm playing devil's advocate. And I got to think, if you're the devil, there's a lot of lawyers in hell. You can get a better advocate than Joe Curry or this fucking guy. You're talking. I mean, why do you got to be that? I mean, the hell is filled with lawyers. I know. I went to law school. They're fucking why would he need you?
I know. You were not the one that they would pick.
No. You're just a moron spouting shit.
You're not even up for the job. No. Go back to your pad.
The devil's advocate thing.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
yeah.
I'll do that on this show if we get a little too liberal here. But I won't say I won't say the devil's advocate. I'll just fucking play the other side.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I don't need an introduction.
No. Well, I mean, you're playing a role. You're playing the...
I'm playing your feminine name.
Liberal, yes, Davina. Mm. And so sexy. Once Davina jumps in, all hell breaks
loose. Get Davina off the pole.
That's been my job. I've failed.
You have.
I know.
Davina likes being on the pole.
Yes, she just certainly does.
I was recently unfriended by a maniac on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was accused of being a racist by my friends on my page.
People are insane.
They're insane. And she was more upset about being called a racist than actual racism and couldn't believe that and jumped to her defense and took it very personally.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. And I posted this today on Facebook. If you were constantly have to defend yourself against being called a racist, it might be time to assess what you could possibly be doing to give people that vibe. Whether you're a racist or not, you just might want to take a step back and go, huh, why are multiple people constantly doing it? Now, trust me, liberals are fucking nuts. I've talked about the conversations I've had where I was talking about impeachment.
Yes.
And it became, well, you're just a white male and you hate Nancy Pelosi. It's like, what? I told you, it's like what?
Like, what?
I said, you know, if Nancy Pelosi seems to think that he's done things that mean he should be impeached, then she should just do it. And it seems like by all her statements, she thinks he's done high crimes and misdemeanors, then she'd do it. And that devolved, you're not going to be there if she loses. You know, you're just like another guy telling a woman what to do.
Whoa, wait, hold.
So liberals are a little batshit, too.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. Completely. No, there's people who see racism and, you know, all kinds of crimes and misdemeanors everywhere.
If you just took what Trump said about Baltimore infested rats, if you just took it as an isolated thing and somebody said racism, then you go, you know what, that's a little wrong. He's just talking about this one particular thing, this one particular time.
In a vacuum.
Exactly.
Yes.
But when you look at the whole thing, that's where you go, well, we might have a problem here.
You can't take anything he says in a vacuum because he has this grand body of work.
He does.
And you really have to look at the subtext of what he's saying.
But people don't want
to all
do
the
that.
Time.
Ever-expanding body of work.
Yes.
He's very
yes.
prolific.
Yes.
While people like us are sleeping, Donald Trump and Pip are up at 3 a.m.
Exactly.
arguing
with yes. racist,
airing
non-racist.
Of the grievances.
Yes.
How is Festivus not a holiday yet with this president?
I don't know.
I feel like it should be.
I think that it should be a day off from work.
Because that's the airing of the grievances.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the grievances most people have is work. So I think it should be a day off.
His Twitter account is an actual case for Festivus being a national holiday.
Yes. Good one. Yeah, really. No, he's just... that's one of the reasons why between him and Moscow McConnell.
Did we get to the point with Johnny?
Just that he would start going... He would start ranting about something and then saying, no, you know, I'm just saying that just to be the devil's advocate, or I'm just like posing the opposite side. No, you're not. No, you truly believe the horseshit you're spouting. And
does he have a body of work that makes you think that?
No, it was it was pretty clear from what he was bringing up. But then if I would bring up a better case, he would double down with, oh, I'm just throwing it out there. No, 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 no. That's clearly how you think.
I did not see it. So yeah. I cannot weigh in.
Yeah, it was a while ago, so I don't remember exactly everything.
Proud
said,
of you, though. Your Facebook page is becoming quite the shit show. Much more entertaining.
I leveled some, and I don't usually ever use ad hominem attacks. I don't believe
in
that.
Oh, you're coming quite prolific. I mean, it's no longer stare porn and kittens out of you, my dear.
No,
there's all sorts of shit coming.
I don't. You know, say, oh, you know, and you've got a big nose or whatever. You know, I don't do that. But I call.
And you got a big dick. Wait, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That
I did that. I did that wrong.
They backfired on me into a crepe. I think that when I call him like something, some variation on snarky, like Mr. Snarkatron or something. I just called him. I don't know. Some stupid word I used up. I was just like, oh, he's being all snarky and it's really making me mad. And I called him something like that. And I went, well, I'm sorry for calling you a name, but you're just really getting me mad.
Did you unfriend him?
No.
Good for you. Good girl.
No, I didn't.
Good girl.
Yeah, I figure, you know, if this is somebody I cannot discuss politics with because I don't have enough time in the day to knock down every one of his ridiculous assumptions.
It was interesting. Joe and I had a back and forth on somebody else's Facebook page last week. He's like, oh, I didn't get a chance to respond to it. So then we finished it up here at the end of the show. So there was no.
I'm so glad I leave before you guys.
No, it wasn't
done.
Even a big thing. It was about the illegal immigration. It's always about the illegal immigration.
Of course.
So. My point was, well, how come it's only the brown ones? Because most of the illegal immigrants are coming from Europe. He goes, no, actually, most of them are coming from Canada. I go, all right, you just proved my point. White people in Canada, and the second most is Europe. And then I go, why aren't we talking about them? You know, he's like, well, no, we got to get rid of all the illegal immigrants. I go, illegal immigrants. I go, so we agree.
We only cage the brown ones.
Yeah. But,
you know, because
nobody likes free-range brown ones.
Like eggs or
no,
chickens?
No, but if you're going to have a conversation about illegal immigration, have the conversation about illegal...
About all immigration.
Exactly.
That,
you're going to get a lot more people on board and go, and the Canadians are sneaking over, and the Europeans are coming and overstaying their visa, and we got to crack down on this, and we got to take care of the southern border. And go, okay. Well, yeah, all right, now you got me. Now they're taking up resources. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but we should have more immigrants from places like Norway.
They're very
yeah,
fair.
He wants the best. Yeah,
he wants the best.
And brightest. And
he's
they
got
all
me.
Come from white
it's
European countries.
Yeah.
They most certainly do.
You know, the more Nordic, the more, I don't know, people with blonde hair, blue eyes, that kind of people, you know.
I like them.
Yeah. I mean, history has shown that those are the favorite people and that we should
have more
of
them. Actually, no, the Jews are the chosen people.
Well, no, I didn't say chosen. I said favorite.
I like them.
Yeah. We choose them to beat up on, but
the blonde haired blue eyed girl. Now I'm trying to think. If I had a blonde haired blue eyed girlfriend, I don't know if I've had a plat. Yeah, no, I have. I think I have. Maybe I don't know, but yeah. Actually, I don't.
Only your hairdresser knows for sure.
No, I told you the hairdresser was Italian that I dated.
I wasn't even going there.
Okay. I had to do like a mental Rolodex, and it gets harder and harder every time to think about who I dated.
I know.
Not that it was so
people
prolific.
Drop off.
Just my memory is so shitty.
Oh, no. I am their queen. Some people.
You're the game maker. You're the game maker.
Oh, I'm that too. But I mean, I'm the queen of people who can't remember shit. I really do. I had a brain MRI after my fainting incident. I thought for sure they were going to say, are you on meth? What's wrong with your brain?
All they saw was a picture of Winwood
up there.
Big holes.
Yeah. Winwood and cats. And there's a little tiny part for Mr. Helix.
Why is that cat licking Winwood? And why is Winwood licking that cat? And why is it in your brain?
That would never happen because he's a dog person.
Trust me, Mr. Helix isn't making the fucking brain.
He does, although every
time I can't believe he did that, and then quickly goes back to cats and Winwood.
Although every time he comes around the corner, I go, and he goes, honey, I live here. He scares me.
Then he
every
should
time.
Be fucking scared.
He walks on little cat feet like the cats. He's starting to mimic them.
He should.
Scares the crap out of me all the time. That's
all right,
a mess.
I gotta use stink.
Oh, awesome.
Look at you enjoying my angst.
Yes. Bring up
you stink. Thanks, Joe. All right, so I was in Virginia.
Okay.
I travel a lot. I stay at a lot of hotels.
I'm sorry.
I like hotels.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry it was in Virginia. I'm sorry.
Hotels have changed through the years.
How do you mean?
Well, like, I've seen the elimination of smoking inside hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be like, would do you want smoking or non-smoking? Now, more often than not, they just fucking tell you it's non-smoking. You got a sign here that you have to pay $100 mm-hmm. if you violate it. That's pretty much wherever you go. That's become pretty standard.
Yeah.
So I was in Virginia.
Right.
Apparently that's not pretty standard.
Oh. That's where they grow tobacco.
Well, they did. So the slaves got uppity.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's where cigarettes were born. So
no, I don't think they were born there.
they rose out of the ground as little leafy.
No, I
leafy
get
things.
It. I get it. Yeah. So the place is completely sold out. I check in, they put me in a smoking room.
Ugh.
It smells like smoke.
Yeah.
It like immediately hits you.
Yeah.
So I go, can you put me in a non-smoking room? No, those are all taken. Even everybody who's checked in has taken. I go, well, I'm allergic, which I'm not.
But that's the way to go. Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't fucking matter. If I was allergic, I was going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't even understand why hotels. So the use thing is for Virginia, by the way, for still allowing this, the state of Virginia. Because
okay.
I don't even understand why a hotel, it's just not good for business.
Virginia is for tobacco lovers.
It really is. Because the thing is, it costs them more money. Because the smell of smoke gets on all the furniture, gets in the sheets, it gets in all the carpeting and everything. It costs them more money to have to deal with that than as opposed to making a non-smoking room. Even smokers who I know. Don't want to stay in smoking rooms.
You can't even Febreze that shit away.
Like, you smoke. Did you ever want to stay in a smoking room?
You know, the worst thing about being a smoker was the remnants of smoke smell on clothes or in rooms or on your hair.
So that was number two to cancer?
Yeah. 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 Cancer was a far two.
So
after
you didn't want to stay
smell.
In the smoking room?
No.
Do you smoke?
No.
So you definitely don't want to stay in the smoking room.
No.
She didn't want to be near me when I was smoking.
Like, I knew
she was like, go fuck yourself.
And she did.
And she did.
Smoked right after she fucked herself.
I needed to. Oh, that was good.
Nobody knows you like you know you, baby. But like, I know smokers that would ask for non-smoking rooms and then fucking smoke in them like a bunch of fucking animals.
What the hell? Why?
Because like you just said, they don't want to be in the remnants of other people's smoke.
That's a super dick move. No, that's a tiny, tiny, microscopic dick move. It really is. Oh, no, you don't. No. If you're going to feist up the room, you foul up the room that's already been feisted by other people's cigarettes. You don't go and you take a fresh room and go, ha, let me pollute this. Ha ha, fuckers.
No, well, they would like, no. They would like do it by the doors. You know.
No,
I agree. It's
go
a
outside,
wrong.
Put on your parka, go outside.
They make an ashtray out of the glass because there is no ashtray in there.
Oh, God.
A little water in the glass, and you know the move.
I was a respectful smoker. I got away from people. I only did it certain places.
Actually, that was one of my favorite things about you smoking is that you went away. that was why I
and took all the crazy people with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would actually throw packs of cigarettes at Pip, but she came just to get her.
Yeah,
away.
Yeah. Go run outside and catch those. Yeah, my brand. Woo woo.
So, I mean, do you agree that it's just stupid to have smoking in hotel rooms?
Yes.
You know, I remember
No.
I remember when people bitch, oh, you can't smoke in restaurants. It worked out pretty well for restaurants.
Yeah, it did.
Business went up.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they were starting to push that in Atlantic City. I was working down in Atlantic City. Business went up because smokers are going to smoke. They're just going to go outside and do it in a hurricane.
Right, but now you walk through casinos and you hit the smoking air and you're like, what? Because you don't smell it every place.
Even like
anymore.
Amusement parks, which are outdoors, they have a designated smoking area.
Yeah.
So we've all moved away from it because, as you said, even if you smoke, you don't want to smell other people's filth.
No. Didn't want to smell my own. I ran away from what I was blowing out of my mouth. Ew.
And the thing is, you come home. Like, I used to come home from shows.
Yeah.
And, like, my Reek. Clothes. It's like, were you smoking? No, I wasn't smoking, but the people were smoking.
And it's in the air. No, we go to shows. You know, Mr. Helix would be playing someplace. And everybody knows. Every bar smelled to high heaven. It would get in your hair and your clothes. So, you know, you have to, like, leave your clothes outside to, like,
it's terrible.
Said the whole place didn't smell like it. And you got to go take a shower and get it out of your hair. It's just like, ugh. You know, you disgust yourself.
And then to top it off, there was a wasp in my room.
What
kind of wasp?
Blonde hair, blue eyes. So I was very excited.
Oh, it was an Aryan bee, was it?
They were my favorite. My favorite wasp. No, it was the fucking ornery type that, like, it already knew me. wasp. It's like in my room, but I got nothing to kill this thing. I don't travel with a fly swatter. So I called down. I'm like, you know, can you guys get rid of the wasp? Like, well, you know, you should probably leave if you're allergic. Go, listen, I'm not planning on getting stung. Yeah. I don't want to leave the room to wait for you guys to do it. 20 minutes later, the guy fucking comes up.
Dude.
It was a really long time. And then he didn't want to kill the wasp. I'm like, you're much nicer than me, because that son of a bitch would have been dead. He's like, well, I'm trying to see if it's the queen or the regular wasp. I'm like, I don't know its lineage and royalty. I have no idea.
Wait. Whoa. Hold the phone. It's not like a bumblebee or a honeybee, which you're supposed to preserve. Wasps need to die. Kill it with fire. You don't wait and see if it's the queen. Good. Let all those fuckers die. No, don't send up the Buddhist on an extermination call.
Well,
what the fuck?
No.
Well,
it's a hotel. It's owned by Indians, and the last name was Patel. I'm not joking.
There you go. So there you go.
So I'm like, you're much nicer than me. So he gets it with a towel.
No. To put it outside.
Yes. I think so. But then I'm walking to my car later on, and there's a dead wasp on the ground. And I'm wondering, was that like a fucking message for me? Like, you did this. Look what you did.
It's on your karma.
Yeah, but yes, I felt like, because they have my license plate, because you got to write that down. And I'm parked right out front.
Do you think that the guy would take the bee in the towel and put it out in front of your car like, you know, like a horse's head in your bed? You know, was
yeah,
that the message?
I think so. I think he felt bad that the wasp died, and like, this is on my karma. I think it was a spite wasping.
I didn't do this. When he comes back in his next life, it's on him.
Yeah.
Give him the
like
bad
I'm gonna, like I should come back as a wasp.
Spite wasping.
I think it was a spite wasping.
You're gonna come back as a wasp.
I might.
He
blonde
could.
Hair, blue eyes, a little stinger.
But well, I mean, I'll never know.
But I mean, how else would I look down and see this fucking dead wasp in front of my car? That's rather random. It's not like wasps are killing themselves in parking lots. Go, right, I've had enough. I'm too depressed. Nobody likes me. They don't give me the respect that they do the bumblebee. I'm just gonna die here in the parking lot and hope for the best.
Good.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
No, they don't. Oh no. They wasps don't get depressed. They just get angry.
Right. So I feel like this was a karma wasp. Like he was just, he left it there. Like he felt bad that he killed it. And now it's my problem.
You know, that was the B-side to Karma Chameleon, but it never sold.
Funny, I'm surprised that Mr. Helix didn't get you tickets to see that. Sounds like something random.
Only in a hurricane.
Yeah, random and unpopular that he would buy tickets for. And now the other members of Culture Club. Not Boy George, the other members. Can't wait to go. Yep, gotta miss the radio show. It's the other members of Culture Club. Couldn't possibly miss that fucking concert in somebody's backyard.
Did you see my post on Facebook about the wasp nest that was on my house?
I did.
Yes, the house pinata, I was calling it. Yeah, so it's a wasp week.
So that was my that's my you stink. Now let's talk to something about more pleasant.
Oh.
Mr. Barry Manilow.
Oh, yes.
You like Barry Manilow?
When I was 8,
I did.
He's not Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round, you know.
Child of the late 70s, early 80s. That's what my mom was listening to. When
but
I
you
was
outgrew it
up.
And transitioned into Wynwood?
Yes. Completely. I became a Wynwood fan at the ripe old age of 11.
How does that even happen? I don't understand. Like, unless you're into classic rock, I don't even understand how anybody would discover Wynwood.
It was when he was very poppy. Like, Roll With It and Higher Love.
Oh, yeah. All the shit I turned off when I was a kid. I did, because when I was a kid, I listened to harder music.
Mr. Air Supply, please.
I didn't listen to that on the radio.
Uh-huh. You listened to it.
I listened probably on Light FM. I mean,
and let's go back to the current topic, your visit with Mr. Manilow.
I like when you see it like that.
Yes.
Like it was like a private session.
Wasn't it?
I wish. I should be so lucky.
He rolled his eyes.
I'll tell you one thing. I would definitely like dedicate like a private secret Facebook group to him, and I wouldn't tell you about it at all.
Good.
The Manilow Maniacs.
I feel so left out.
You should, because that group might exist and you don't know. And I hold on to my secrets.
I told you already, my cousin Diane played so much Barry Manilow for me when I was a kid that I can't stand listening to it. It's like it brings me back to a very bad time.
All right. Let's go through it. First of all, I got free tickets.
Okay.
Free tickets. You'll get me to a lot of things for free tickets.
I know.
I would probably even go to Wynwood just to watch you guys. For free tickets. Like, she knows I've tried. I'll call and go, there was a song on, I tried. I couldn't.
he just can't stand them.
I don't hate it. It just does nothing for me.
Yeah.
But I've tried to listen because, you know, I love Pip. And, you know, this is something that she really likes. So I'm like, well, what does she see in it? And
thank
I go,
you.
I can't. It's boring.
Not even Blind Faith with Clapton? Come on.
I don't like Clapton.
Yeah, no, it's
that
not
explains
his thing.
It. Yeah.
Well, I mean, besides Aerosmith, which is our meet and ground, but he likes a lot of the, which is, I know, it's, you know.
The metal from the 80s.
Yeah, metal from the
80s. But I got you into the second Skid Row album.
Yeah,
the harder one.
I was
playing some tracks, because I'm going to see Sebastian Bach, and I was like playing some, like, well, this is a little harder than the, like, I played the first album that had all the hits there, but you're just like, nah, it doesn't really do it for me. Then I play, like, some of the stuff that came on the second album where it was harder, it's like, oh, I could kind of get into this. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
What can I say?
So I got free tickets, and I've wanted to see him for a while, not because I'm a huge Manilow fan.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, I hold one double CD live album. That's the one CD I have, and a cassette I bought a couple of months ago at a thrift shop for 25 cents. So it's not like all that music you see there is like an ode to Barry.
No.
I don't have a lot of Barry Manilow music.
No.
I don't.
Sorry.
What's going on over there?
No, nothing. Look at all
that.
Is
there a tarp down?
She's catching on. I like this one.
No, the snark is strong in this one.
Yeah,
it's
like
good.
That. I'm really not familiar with a lot of his work.
Right.
Like, I know, I must have heard Mandy somewhere at some point and go,
sure.
I dig this.
Elevator.
We'll get there. And, like, I must have heard Copa. And then you know what it is? I probably bought that CD because of Mandy. I go, I like this Mandy song. And then I listen to the CD and I go, oh, he's got other stuff that I kind of like. And yeah, I am known for listening like to metal and everything.
Right.
But I do have a softer side.
No, you do. Come to the softer side of Sears.
Well, you know, when I was young, you couldn't admit to liking shit like Manilow.
No.
I didn't even like Manilow when I was young, but no, you couldn't admit to that. I was like all into like Twisted Sister, Rat, Quiet, you know, manly men with high hair and makeup. That's what it feels.
Poison.
Yes.
Yes.
Seen them several times.
Motley Crue.
Yes. Seen them a couple of times.
Yep.
That was my jam. Manly bands.
Yeah.
But there was no Manilow in my circle of friends running around at that time.
There was just mascara for days.
Yes. We like men's men.
Aquanet.
Yes.
That's what my scene was.
Yes.
So,
I understand.
And, you know, I get ribbed for the Manilow here, and it's fine. It's fine.
I told you on Facebook that you're a very secure man because he stood there in a picture in front of the marquee with his hands jauntily on either...
Jauntily? I assure you, when the picture was taken, jauntily was an adverb I never thought of.
Hands on hips, smiling, saying, look at how secure of a man I am. I have testicles in front of the Manilow sign. Ha!
Well, it's not like he's going to put them in his mouth. What's wrong with you?
And he would if you asked nicely.
Wow, look at you! Look at you being a homophobe. Most homophobic person on the show too, to go along with the most racist.
Well,
I'm learning so much about you.
You think just because the man's a homosexual, he's going to fuck every Jew he sees?
No, just you.
As well, he'd be.
You're a tasty little piece.
I am a kosher little tasty piece. It was a fine picture.
Yes, no, it was a fine picture, and I was actually being legitimate when I said that you're very secure because I know that people who like Manilow are usually like older ladies and men who are either gay or very secure
but
with
not,
themselves.
Well, jump ahead, but not by what the feedback was. Very positive. More likes than I get for anything was that picture with the Manilow and people quoting Manilow songs. See, I didn't realize this. Apparently, a lot of people like Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Like people my age. People that I thought were way too cool to like Manilow.
No, he's guilty pleasure stuff.
He is. I did not know this.
Yeah, he's like the old Kelly Clarkson, if you will. You know, people.
I love Kelly Clarkson.
I know you do. That's why I referenced
Kelly Clarkson's
her.
Greatest hits. I said it time and time again. Great CD for road tripping. Great, and Joe's right there with me.
And good for singing along if you can.
Can. Not well. Kelly Clarkson is the fucking bomb. Have you given her a fair shake?
Since you've been gone,
I
like her.
All right, so then why besmirch? If you wanted to come at me with my affinity for Spice Girls, you might have a point. But to come at me with Kelly Clarkson, how dare you? How dare you? You know what?
I'm just saying that she's somebody that people who present themselves as too cool for school that's their guilty pleasure.
No, she's a rocker chick.
Yeah, she does.
She's a rocker chick.
She belts
chick.
It out.
You know, kind of like Pink, too. You know, it's like, you know what? This chick is badass.
Oh, she's very badass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I like badass women.
I am not besmirching.
And Taylor Swift.
All right, it's getting worse.
My opinion of you, just like...
Yeah. Right, you know what? I've been riding with Taylor since the first
you
album.
You had me until Taylor.
I like Taylor. You know what? Taylor's fine. You know, she seems like a good person. She does, like, she's really good to her fans.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Oh, I do too.
So,
I do
mean,
too.
You know, these are qualities I like.
All right, well, that's fine.
But back to Barry. So, you know, Barry's for the lighter side. So the tickets I got were a 15th row, right of stage.
That's very good.
Those are very good seats.
Really good.
So I think they were, I think they're like $200 in fees.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I didn't pay that.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I went to get Barry Manilow tickets, the lowest I saw was $130. I'm like, I'm not fucking paying $130 for that.
No.
But then I think they had him for $70, which I might have paid.
Right.
Just because I've heard so many people say he puts on a really good show.
Right.
I like really good shows.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chance I would go to, like, Wynwood, and if I thought the show was really good, it might turn me around on the music, go, okay, they put on a really good show. Mm-hmm. I kind of got into it. I see it now.
Right.
It kind of happened with the Police. Not that Sting fucking moved, but the drummer was just so good and the music was so good. It's like, oh, I guess I like the Police. That can happen. Cheap Trick. I came around. I never really got into Cheap Trick. I saw them in concert. First time I saw them, go, huh, I guess I like Cheap Trick. So
yeah.
I am persuadable.
Yes,
if you
are.
If you tell me something is a good show.
Yeah, you are.
And you get me in the door, I'll give it a... So, like, if you said, I want you to come and see Wynwood on a Wednesday night, and I had nothing going on, I'd go, all right, I'll see Wynwood. Just don't fucking soil me, keep me dry, and, you know...
don't soil me.
But you know what? I'll check out Wynwood with you. But yeah. You have to be prepared that I'm going to fucking hate it. But there is a chance that I go, okay, I get it now. I can listen to the music on the radio. I don't have to immediately turn it off.
Right, right.
So I'm open to shit.
Yeah, like, I know you are. No, it actually touches me that you have tried with the Wynwood, but on my behalf,
it's the only reason.
I know. I get that, and I would not necessarily say, yeah, let's come go, because I've seen a number of shows with you, and I know what your expectations are, and they're a pretty low-energy group. It's more about playing the music. There are no balloons. There's no
spectacle. I don't need balloons.
Spectacle,
I like
you know?
Balloons. I like balloons.
Yeah, but there's no, you know...
No, but you know what?
Incendiary devices.
But if the songs are good and you're really rocking that, I can get into that too.
Yeah, it's not
the
good.
Most you're gonna get is a little bit of a psychedelic light show.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, you would be underwhelmed, and I know you would. So it's like, no, I'm not even gonna try that.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, if you change things,
I don't expect everybody to be Aerosmith residency in Vegas.
Right? No, because yeah, there's.
I don't expect teddy bears from every fucking hanging from every ceiling.
Yeah, giant like you know
toys in
balloons.
The attic. They had like all shit.
They had and they lowered them down, and it was cool and stuff. You know, and there's
it was unnecessary.
Running
the balloons in the ceiling were a little unnecessary.
Rod Stewart had balloons.
Yeah. Oh God, so many balloons.
Wynwood opened for Rod Stewart. That's the only reason we were at a Rod Stewart show.
Yeah.
Like, that's the embarrassing part of the story.
But it was complete a disparity in the shows. It was, Steve is very low key, he's playing his music, it's, you know, got more of a Latin feel, it's like, you know, it's got a little bit of a funk to it now, they've rearranged some of his songs. No, they're not.
Oh,
and then Rod Stewart comes out, and he's got his band is half like Russian broads with, you know, boobs hiked up and high heels. And
now
you know,
I want to see Rod Stewart.
And it was like the Robert Palmer girls.
Yeah, in sequins, playing violins.
Now I
want to
see Rod Stewart. Never had a desire. Another guy whose music I turned off. Now you have me interested.
Balloons, soccer balls into the confetti.
Sounds good.
Balloons and confetti.
Love
it. It was
give
very.
Give me a show. Give me a show.
It was very Cher. And
outfit changes.
Yes.
I don't want to see Rod Stewart wear what Cher wears.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
I'll give you an idea. Like, when I was growing up, I always liked Billy Joel, but I wouldn't even admit that, like, tell people I had Billy Joel cassettes. Not that I was embarrassed to, but like, oh, who are your favorite bands? It was never Billy Joel. It was all those hair bands that I mentioned before, or Aerosmith or whatever.
He wasn't considered very
cool. And I used
to
worry about that shit.
Yes, I did
too. And then you get to a point, fuck it, I'm never going to be cool. Here I am.
Yeah, right, right. No, you do.
And it's that's like, where I am. So I can stand there jauntily in Times Square in front of Mr. Barry Manilow. Yes.
Yes. In his purple plaid, no less. And very, very proud of himself. Look
it's
at me.
A fucking picture. I didn't put that much thought into it. People are rushing by. It wasn't like I had a lighting person and makeup and shadowing and stand. That thought did not go. Hurry up. People are coming. Let's go
look
take the picture.
Look at me. I'm a fan of low. Look at me. I wear purple plaid. I'm secure in my manhood.
You are such a homophobe.
I'm really not. I'm just busting
No,
balls.
No, you're a little homophobe. Even ball busting is something you do to hurt homosexuals, because once you bust their balls, what are they going to do? Share poetry? No, they need their balls.
I thought all men needed their balls.
Right, but you're going to bust the gay people's balls.
I just want to bust everybody's balls.
Because you're a ball buster.
I am. Are you new?
I am new. I thought the picture was a very nice picture.
It was a really nice picture of you.
It means nothing now coming
and
from
you. And you were happy.
Well, I was happy.
Until now.
I forgot I had to see you on Tuesday. That's what that was. You were not in my mind, so that's why you saw a half smile.
Oh,
that's what that was.
I never see
now,
that.
Now no longer fucking happy because I'm dealing with you.
I never see
he
that
was
face.
Jaunty, even.
Jaunty.
Now I hope the woods never get cut down. And I have some suggestions for MS-13. How do you like that shit?
You always had the Meadowlands.
The Meadowlands.
We'll always have
we'll
the
always
Meadowlands.
We'll always have the Meadowlands. Miss that arena. Anyway. So I'm sitting there. So usually when I go to concerts, you've been to enough concerts, I wear a rock shirt or a t-shirt.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm like, this is Broadway. I should probably wear something buttoned up.
No, it was nice. You had a nice button-up shirt on.
That's not how I went to see Aerosmith.
No.
Who I paid a lot more money for.
Yeah, I know. But you weren't on Broadway.
In a theater.
Yeah.
But there's something about Broadway.
Yeah, this was Vegas. There, people are handing out, you know, business cards for strippers and whores. You don't have to dress like you do for Broadway.
No, but I do need more business cards.
Which side of the aisle are you playing, son?
Playing every aisle, baby. I'm an equal opportunity. So I noticed I made the right decision as far as clothing, because there was no Iron Maiden t-shirts in the audience.
Yes.
There was no
right.
Judas Priest t-shirt.
Yeah, no. So, I would think that they would be afraid of you.
So the wife goes, we'll be some of the youngest people here. I'm like, looking around, I'm like, no, we won't.
Yeah.
There's younger people there. And then I point to this like person, this attractive blonde couple rows up. And she's like, well, that woman's in her like 50s or 60s. I go, that's not old, that old for us anymore. She didn't like that answer.
Yeah, it's like, don't you besmirch my illusions.
It's like, what are you fucking? It's like, so wait, maybe she's 54, 52, I don't know, 61. Yeah, man, not that. And she's fucking older than me. So she's a lot closer to death than me, although she's going to kill me.
I'd say you're much closer to death every day.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'll give you that. But I kind of burst that bubble for her.
Yeah, I know. We all have this moment where we're like, oh my God, you look at the obituaries and you go, that's really close to how old I am.
Absolutely.
Or that person's younger than me.
Or you wind up in a Mallow concert and go, God, I'm not even trying anymore. And that's where I am with shit. You know, it's like I work out, but I still go to Mallow. So it's like, you know, it's like I'm trying to maintain some illusion of having the shit together, but another part of me's just giving up. It's like, you know, let's ease into a nice warm sitz bath and put on some light FM and fucking relax and not party too hard. Maybe I'll have some salsa after 6 p.m. If I really want to party. But, you know, that's basically where I'm going with life.
Oh, my God. That's crazy talk.
So then she goes, well, you know, at least we won't have to stand up. At least the people won't be standing in front of us. Nay, nay. She was wrong.
Yeah.
As soon as the music, the shriek of middle-aged women.
I hear that in my dreams. Nightmares.
The shriek of, you know, like when the maniacs get together and you play a Betamax cassette that somebody fucking found. Oh, undiscovered footage. Here's Steve playing with Traffic, not playing in Traffic. You know, when you guys all get together, like those type of screeches.
That's a little too fucking true.
I know a lot about a little.
Too close to home.
Yes, oh, yes.
I'll fucking fight back, you bitches. Call me standing jauntily. I think not. So, like, the middle-aged scream, and everybody's standing. The guys are standing, the girls. I'm like, all right, well, I guess we're fucking standing tonight.
Yeah.
Which I kind of agree. I thought we'd be able to sit comfortably.
Right.
You know how much I value that at a concert.
I'm with you.
I mean, I have tickets where I'm going to have to fucking stand, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
But given the choice, I like to sit. My back, I'm a little old, you know.
No, I feel you. We're going to go see the Violent Femmes on Thursday. I don't know if this is a sitting or standing.
Are they still around?
I know, that's what I thought. And and I don't know if this is a sit or stand situation, so I'm completely unprepared.
Ex-girlfriend, hell.
Oh, wow.
Like, when she was, like, trying to make me jealous and she was working at, like, a fucking chicken fast food place, this guy that she liked or didn't like, or that liked her or didn't like her, I don't know what the fucking deal was, to be honest with you, like, got her into the Violent Femmes. And I started listening to Violent Femmes. Go, oh, this is bad. I mean, these fuckers can't sing.
Great.
But, I you know, I like some Violent, you know, Blister in the Sun, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of the song. I was singing at Starbucks. Yeah. Thank you.
How much did you pay for those?
I don't even know. Mr. Helix did that.
Of course.
Yes.
So, I'm so glad that now that you have all this free time, he's spending all money on concert tickets.
This is always. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to end well.
No, it's...
You're going to be fighting the cats for the cat food. That's how this story ends. And it won't be the fancy feast.
And I'm not already?
No. You're going to be getting the 25-cent bullshit, not quality cans, you know, with the first ingredients is water for processing.
99-cent?
No, you're not getting 99-cent. You're getting 25-cent cans. Yeah. But the first... It's not chicken. It's not, you know, liver. It's not white fish. It's going to be water for processing. The cheap cat food. That's what your future is.
Water flavored with horse meat.
No. I know the ingredients on cat food.
Yeah, I know you do.
Exactly. Because yeah. I don't give my cat that stuff. But now I'm going to have to give you high just so you don't go home hungry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to give you some of their food. Because that's where all your money's going to fucking see has-been concerts. That's where it's all going.
Did you notice that some of your cat food supply was dwindling every Tuesday?
I don't see Violent Femmes for no more than $20 and fairly close to home.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't think it was an expensive thing at all. Nor should it be. No, but I'm just saying that the sitting is an important issue to me, and I don't know if I'll be doing any of that.
Absolutely.
So we'll see.
So I'm just trying. So when you walk in, I forgot to mention, when you walk in, they give you 3D glasses and a glow stick. Fuck yeah.
For Barry Manilow?
Don't say it like that, ironic. Fuck yeah. For Barry goddamn Manilow. We're going to party.
Where was the show at?
The Luntfontein Theater.
Okay.
Like, that makes a difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big Broadway person.
Oh, okay. All right. So you know the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she came to this area and she, like, went to every theater and saw every show that there was.
And for the record, I did see a Manilow t-shirt that I liked.
Was it a ball sack t-shirt or was it merch?
There's no ball sack t-shirts for Broadway shows. If only there was a ball. Please, if there was a ball sack t-shirt, I'd be wearing a Manilow shirt right now.
I just can't smile without your ball sack t-shirt.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, no.
But I didn't want to pay $40. I didn't want to pay $40. You know how I am with concert shirts. Well,
yeah, I know. It's like, how much where are you really going to get out of that?
I would wear it on stage.
Oh, would you? Yeah.
I wear Joe's band on stage. Nobody knows who Fragile Sky is. By the way, my mom really liked the shirt that Joe gave because I wore it the other day to the Met game. I went to the house to pick up my dad, wore the Fragile Sky shirt to the Met game.
Right.
So remind me to tell Joe.
I will. Mr. Helix saw mine, and he was like, oh, all excited. I'm like, that's mine.
Settle down. This is a never, this is a never was band, not a has been band.
Did. Okay. Yeah.
That's how I met Joe. Okay.
Oh, you met Joe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, so I wore my Fragile Sky shirt to a Mets game. So anyway, I'm trying to find. I got all these fucking notes.
3D glasses.
Yeah.
Want to hear more about this?
All right, so he has a full band. You got the percussionist, the drummer, horn section. You know, he's got his piano, keyboardist, guitarist, bassist, three background singers, two women, one man. It's like Barry's putting on a fucking show.
Yeah.
We're Barry Manilow. We're not fucking cutting down. I'm like, all right, let's fucking bring it, Barry. Let's fucking rock. And Barry doesn't really rock. But
No.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, I was in such a fucking shitty mood from the shit I was dealing with earlier in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Which I told you guys off air.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. A Barry Manilow concert is pure joy. There are certain things that are just happiness.
Yeah.
Like I'll go to some kinds of rah, rock, and it's like raw aggression and anger, even though you're having a good time and you want to be there and everybody's happy. But there's no edge to a Manilow concert.
Yeah, and people don't like it when you do that at Enya. They really hate that. Rah!
We got a bunch of Enya CDs. Those are hers.
Yeah. I've seen you throwing some metal up in the air after Enya.
She did
a
duet with Eminem, I want to say. I like Eminem. Mm. Oh, that was Dido. Excuse me.
Oh, okay.
I got my nondescript white female pop singers from the 90s confused.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between Enya and Dido.
Yeah, I have one Dido CD and about six Enya CDs. Yeah. No, Enya's like a little bit more...
New agey.
Yes, that's the word. Whatever, she's fine. I'm not, if somebody drags me to an Enya concert, I'm going. I'm not looking to go.
Right.
But I'll go.
And then we'd hear about it. It would be material for the show.
Everything is.
Everything we got to get Davin to a Win-Win show at some point.
If you buy me a ticket and it's not too far from home, I will go.
You'll go? All right.
Yeah. Right. But just know it could go either way.
Yes, I know. It could be tragically the
way. Yeah, I could be ripping on every one of you fuckers, or I could be going, this is amazing. I don't know what I've been missing out on. It could go either way.
I don't foresee that happening.
Or I could be talking to the band of women and go, you have no idea what these bitches say about you. I mean, that could happen, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, he can't come.
Well, I know the secret name now.
So do they.
So the part with the 3D glasses, I'm going to skip around. It's like he's like flying through New York like Superman.
That's funny.
And you're like whipping in and out of New York. It was
That's cool.
Was like on a screen, like behind.
No,
the
he
band,
individually or? Came up and put buildings in front of us. Yes, it was on the big.
I don't know if he was like in a harness. Like,
why would we need 3D glasses if Barry was going to harness up?
I don't know.
He's a 76-year-old Jew. He's not harnessing anything except maybe like traction.
Funny.
Oh, it was on the screen. Okay. But it was really good.
That does sound really cool. That
it was
sounds like an IMAX special.
It was. I felt because I, you know, you go to Universal and a lot of rides, I felt like I was on a ride. To the one point where they at the end where it wasn't even 3D anymore per se, they had fireworks on the screen and then they popped out streamers and my wife jumped. So like
cool.
It's really engrossing how they did that shit. There was also some so he talks about how he always knew he was musical. His grandfather was the first one to discover he was musical and would encourage him. So he would take him over the bridge. He grew up in Williamsburg.
Okay.
Took him over the bridge, and they would go into the city, and it was at 35 cents you could record yourself. They'd give you a record of that. So he said, you know, his grandfather would get him to do it. And then they play the fucking recording of his grandfather encouraging him to sing Happy Birthday.
Get out.
Like a young, cool. Like 8-year-old Barry Manilow and his grandfather's. Like, how fucking cool is that? That's just.
I love that stuff.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
And then he tells the story. Like, the first time he played Carnegie Hall, his grandfather's there. And as soon as he hits the stage, his grandfather stands up. And then everybody stood up. So.
Wow.
And then his grandfather didn't sit down. But he's like telling this, like telling like these stories.
That's nice.
And he's like telling the stories like, you know, I always wanted to be a songwriter. That's really what I wanted to be. And I remember the first time I heard something I wrote on the music. It was really golden. And, you know, take out your Kleenex for this. And then this is what he played.
I used to on the apron, his band is the army. I used to.
The first time he heard himself was a jingle that he wrote. That was he wrote a lot of jingles.
Yeah.
Like State Farm. Like a good neighbor.
Oh, that's
he said
his?
That's fucking his. He did McDonald's commercials and shit. So yeah, he sets you up. You're going to hear this schmaltzy, you know, Barry Manilow love song. That's I'm stuck on band. And he fucking sings that.
Wow.
That's really cool, right?
That was really cool. That I didn't know what jingles he wrote. I knew that he wrote really
I had no idea.
Popular ones.
I had no idea. So that was cool. He was what did he I wrote down he was like he was really funny. Like
that,
which
nice.
I would not have expected. I wrote down like so he said the movie Cats is coming out. God knows why. If ever there was a reason to put
have
Cats
have you guys
to sleep,
seen the trailer?
No.
It's terrifying.
I saw the show on Broadway. It was terrible enough.
Terrifying. Like you guys have to watch the trailer.
No, I don't.
It is Taylor Swift, Idris Elba, I don't know why he's in this movie.
Because he's attractive.
James Corden, it's...
He's a good... was he a fat cat?
Yes, okay. It's terrifying.
So, he goes, when this was on Broadway in the 80s, he's like, everybody covered this song.
Yeah.
He's like, I think even Oingo Boingo covered the song.
Which song?
Memories.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Mr. Helix bought tickets to that concert, too.
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo show.
You were teasing me about that earlier.
So then he goes,
oh, no.
He goes, but only two of us had a hit with us.
Yes.
He goes, I did and Barbara Streisand did. And he goes, I think the measurement of success was by how long your nose was. I mean, it's funny. And then he sang Memories and all. Yeah. He goes, you know, there's just so many hits, and I'm not going to get to them all. But, you know, so, like, here's a melody. You're going to love it. If you happen to be one of these people that was dragged to this concert, it's going to be pure agony.
Oh, that's funny.
He's saying this shit. It's funny. Then he introduced Mandy. So you look at the screen, and it's, what was it, Midnight Special in 1975?
Yep.
So they show Clive Davis, big mogul, introducing him. So you're watching the screen, and it's Barry Manilow playing Mandy from 1975.
Right.
And then he comes back on, and he fucking duets with himself.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this is like some cool shit.
That really, that's very cool.
This is what I'm saying. Like, it's like, you know, I always heard he was a good show, so it's like, I want to check this. I was thinking about this during the show. I'm like, you know what? You would have liked this. I know you would have hated, you would have gotten fucking lost in it because it was such a good show.
Yeah, you know what? The way you're describing it, I would
have. And I'm probably not even giving
that.
It justice.
No, actually, you make it sound like it's really something good to see.
What I thought of this, to me, this is what my expectations were for when we saw Steven Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little
bit
more of the storytelling, a little bit more of a personal touch,
right,
as opposed to a Steven Tyler concert.
Right, right. That's what I was expecting as well, because we saw him, God, was it Avery Fisher Hall?
I thought it was Carnegie Hall.
Was it Carnegie Hall?
I thought it was Carnegie Hall.
Okay, I don't recall. I remember it was a hall. Yeah. Anyway, and you know my memory. I don't remember. I'm lucky I remember being there. And it was you know, nice, but it wasn't what we were expecting. Like,
no, it was a fine concert. But I just felt a little disappointed because the tickets were really expensive.
Yeah.
So I was expecting a different type of experience.
Right. No, it sounds like this was, I mean, you know, my PTSD regarding Barry Manilow songs aside from my tormented childhood, it sounds like he puts on a good show. And
which is what I heard.
He's a nice man, and he's a funny man, you know? So
he comes across as really nice. What it reminded me of when we saw McCartney, and I said to you, you know, McCartney made it feel like we were all sitting there just with him.
Yeah.
Now, of course, McCartney was doing this at MetLife Stadium, and Barry Manilow is doing this in front of 1,500 people in the theater. But that same type of
warmth
and presence, like you're just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
In an artist. And I, you know, that's kind of what I try to do with my comedy show.
Yeah, I know.
You know, no, seriously. Maybe not from the one you fucking saw. But I don't remember that one. I just remember the audience was annoying. Was that one?
Yeah, they were terrible.
Yes, the audience was really annoying. No, you should see him again when he's
I would love to.
A different venue because, that was...
I guess I ate my dick that show. I don't remember.
No, but the audience... But you were battling, you know, because the audience was
And then
just
I recall
really...
the headliner did not do so
no.
well. No.
Yeah. But. Yeah, so
But anyway, I try to like we're just chatting, having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do, but on a much smaller scale. I mean, so Barry's doing in front of 1,500, although he didn't sell out. And Paul's doing in front of 77,000, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
So I really respect that when an entertainer can break it down like that.
Yeah, can make people feel like they had a very personal experience with the person who's on stage. That's not easy to do. I mean, that's one thing where our man Winwood falls really short.
See, that would annoy me.
He is not connecting on a personal level.
He's all about the music. That's it.
He's all about the music. Yeah,
right, although, as he's gotten older, he's tried to connect, and
he's tried.
Funny.
But it's
he's
a funny.
Funny when
funny.
He speaks.
But here's the thing. Like, I appreciate the music. We all appreciate the music. That's why we're there. But we have CDs. We're here to see you. Give us a little something else.
But he never did that.
That's a problem.
Never did that.
He's painfully shy. It's not his fault.
Listen, yeah. I don't really talk to people, but when I'm on stage, I'm giving a show.
Right.
A performance. You suck it up and you make the people want to come back and see you again, not just your hardcore fans.
Right. No, I know. But I mean to bring it back to you.
Well, we should.
No, I mean when you are talking one-on-one with people, you're very personable and you are a nice person. I mean, I've heard outside of the show, I've heard people say it, and I'm throwing you under the bus here. It's true.
You with your bus.
Yeah, I know. It's medieval torture bus.
Her next day program is going to be bus driving.
It could be. It's really up in the air
right now.
I look
forward to those Facebook posts.
True. But the thing is that a lot of people that are performers, particularly comedians, are surprisingly more shy.
Very
or people-averse off stage. I mean, I have the opposite problem. I'm friendly on stage.
No, but that's good.
But I get up on stage and I'm like, oh, you people all hate me. I want to die. That's
why you weren't like that.
Stand-up is hard. It was really
hard. You were fine, though. I mean, I could probably, like I told you, I could probably coach you now and make it easier for you, because now I know how to make it easier for somebody. But I told you, you were fine. You were funny. You know, we were just playing really horrible places.
Yes, that's what you do.
It's not a warm, comforting environment where everybody's just in comedy. No, we're intruding on their fucking evening.
Yes, yes. It was, shut up, we're trying to watch a television.
The next playoff game is on, and your jokes aren't even that funny. And both were accurate.
Yes, yes.
Because we're new, you know, we have some funny stuff, but there's a whole lot of in between, like, in there. So it's hard when you start. That's why you got to fight through.
Yeah.
But Wynwood, Manilow, McCartney, they're past the hard part. Everybody's there to see them.
Yes.
So give us a show.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you are locked in. You're already prepared to enjoy what you're going to be.
Exactly.
That mindset is key.
Yes.
But I've seen it in the different venues. You could do the same show two nights. It depends on where you are. And are these people receptive, or are you bothering them?
That's why I would actually see a Springsteen show, although I only like one of his albums, just because I hear how great he is in concert.
Right,
but
right.
Then again, I go, I don't know if I could do 3 hours of Bruce. That's a long commitment. And Manilow played like close to 2 hours, which is really good.
And he's not that young.
He's 76.
Yeah, so it's like, that's pretty good.
I would definitely see him again. And cool. I was surprised by how many people, like, on my Facebook, I'm so jealous. I'm like, well, he's fucking doing a residency.
You can go.
You can get tickets.
You can do this.
It's not like I went to Mars and it was one time only. I mean, this isn't the, you know, when people, when I say, all right, I flew out to Vegas to see the Aerosmith residency, and people go, right. I'm jealous. Go, okay, I get that. That's a little harder to do.
Yeah.
No, I crossed the bridge. I crossed the bridge. I paid for parking. He's going to be there. Trust me, tickets are not sold out. You can go. And this was opening night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
So
people have time.
We should go. You guys should go.
He needs you, like, selling tickets, talking it up. You convinced me to go.
You would have a good time. I'd go with you guys.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I would totally see it. Remember, like, how I said, like, when we walked out of Aerosmith, I'd fly back and do that again?
Yeah, yeah.
I would see Manilow again. I would. It was a good, because I respect a good show.
Yeah, no, I do too. I just, on the surface of it, there's some things
he's
just
got
went,
so many.
No.
Like, and I don't know a lot of his songs.
You
probably know more than I do.
Yeah, I probably do.
I know a lot.
Yeah, I know.
You would dig
a lot.
It. But he's like, God, this guy's just got fucking hit after hit and everything.
He is very talented, and it's not his fault that I have an aversion to his music. It was in combination.
I was just amazed at how many people my age embrace Barry Manilow. I get my balls busted for Barry Manilow here, and that's fine. I like Air Supply. I would see Air Supply too if the price was right.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line.
You know what? I bet they don't put it on the great show.
I'm all out of love.
I can't live without you. You know what? I bet it. You know what? I like a little light up, because so much of my music. Well, it's nice to chill.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to chill.
Well, you know, and that's fine. I understand. I have quite a range of music that I enjoy, and it's not all.
Let's all go to see Manilow. Let's go see. Let's become Fanilows.
I'm in this a little bit. You're in.
He sold me.
I got a date.
I'm commitment phobic.
You're homophobic.
Superman, 3D glow stick. I mean, come on.
It was fucking.
It sounds amazing.
It really was. The old people had their glow sticks out the whole time, like it was a goddamn rave.
See, that's what's missing. We have to somehow get in touch with Wynwood's people and say glow sticks. Dude, your future's in glow sticks.
But you know what? You walk, and I guess he does it in his Vegas residency, too. You walk in, and I'm sure a lot of these people have seen him before, but for somebody who's never seen him, go, huh, this is different. I bet this is going to be an experience.
Yeah,
It just kind of puts you in, like, an intrigued, a good mood frame of mind. Like, I'm not going to see some old guy on death's door croaking out fucking songs from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There's been some thought, some production into this.
Right. The production sounds amazing.
It really was.
Yeah. That makes a lot of
difference. And the background singers are very good and everything. It's a good time.
Good.
I wish he was there when we were in Vegas. Because we stayed at the hotel where he's in residence.
Right. Yeah.
You know what we have to do? We have to fly back out to see Aerosmith, and we'll see Manilow.
Oh, my God.
Where my little...
I will never go back to Vegas. My only time there was with her and Mr. Helix.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I can
to see Wynwood.
Oh, I can understand that being dramatic.
Yeah, no, no.
Would you share a room with the two of them?
No.
Oh, good. Thank God.
No, I would have brought that to the show.
Well, you should have.
We did stay in the same hotel, though, which is not in the same room.
Yeah, not in the same room. And we did see the magical flooding of the street that we were on.
Oh, it rained?
No, a water pipe burst down by the, what's that called? The merry-go-round or, no, the Ferris wheel. Down where all that stuff is. It's like a newer area.
So we walk down the show and it's like, oh, a river. How in the desert. How
like
interesting.
Like ankle-deep sewer water.
Yeah, that was
great.
That was awesome.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
That's how I get down.
You know, and it's just some streamers. I'm there. I'm partying. Ankle-deep sewer water.
Look
streamers.
At how realistic they made this look.
So where was he playing in Vegas?
Brooklyn Bowl. It was when it first opened. Within the first 2 months.
Was that like a 1,500 seat venue?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a bowling alley. It's like the one here
it's
in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
it's a bowling alley, a restaurant, and a concert venue.
There's one in Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, I know the guy that owns it.
It's actually good.
No, I'm sure it's good, but it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Because bowling with anything sounds horrible.
That was what we had.
You could say bowling and a blowjob, and I'd be focused on the bowling. Yeah, but we still got to do the bowling and the shoes.
The bowling alley is literally next to the concert venue. Like, you can see it.
Yeah, but what you saw me was a comedy club in a bowling alley, and that was not very impressive. So you could see my aversion to bowling.
But this was where we had our encounter with Mr. Wynwood. And we didn't embarrass ourselves. We actually had a normal.
Well, you don't know his version of the story.
Yeah. Oh no! I'm sure his version is very different.
I'm sure he was terrified of us.
Yes, this was as normal as a conversation as I've ever had with him. I didn't.
You fought every urge.
Good
for you.
Yeah. We literally snuck up on him so we didn't scare him away.
Yeah, we were walking like.
What is he? A bunny rabbit?
Yes. Yes. He is. He is very timid.
Oh,
he is a forest creature.
What's he, a guitarist?
Amongst
guitar
things.
And
keyboards.
Get a keyboard. Fine, actually. Get to the fucking back of the stage, stupid. Let a front man take over. You're fucking timid. Give me a front man with some balls.
But when he's on stage, it's like, you know, something takes over. He's very, like, he doesn't really connect verbally with the audience, but his musicianship is very much...
He sounds like he should be a studio musician. He sounds like he should be the guy. Right, that's what it sounds like he should be. Like he should be the guy when every band or a musician goes in, they request him because he's an amazing musician to play on their fucking albums.
Yeah.
It seems like that's really where he should. Like, he's made a career for himself, and obviously, but it seems like really that would have been his happy spot.
He was very, very in demand as a session player.
Yeah, I could see that.
But he still likes performing in front of audiences.
Groups of three or four at a time. You know, just keep your voice down. Don't scare the little bunny Wynwood.
That's pretty much literally
pretty
what
much.
We said when we were approaching.
We're like okay.
Hiding, but there were poles like this in the venue,
like columns
and columns, and we were literally like hiding behind them and peeking
fake
out.
It, man, you got to put on the big smile. Nice to meet you. Yeah, you could take a picture. Arms are that's what the fucking.
He's too old for that.
He'll never do that.
I know, but that's what you know. How many people I take pictures? I don't want to fucking take pictures. I want to go home.
And Javin's comedy can be seen at.
No, but
don't talk to him afterwards.
But you know, the fans came out. So you make the fans, if that's topping off their experience that night, you take the fucking picture as many as you want, you smile, you make a funny face, you point your fingers at them, whatever, you know.
Can you even imagine?
But that's the game.
Never.
But I've seen him be gracious to fans.
Gracious,
after
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's always gracious to fans. Well,
he better not be
he's
a dick
not
at
a
the
total
stage
dick.
No, he's not.
Otherwise, he doesn't get that call from Rod Stewart. So,
oh my God, and that was one he should not have taken.
No, but you know what? You got the gig is the show is not just the show.
Yeah.
The deal is you get if the people spot you. I get people don't want to be stopped all the time. I get it.
Yeah.
But if they spot you. Fucking take the picture. Smile.
Oh, no. Not saying that he doesn't do that. No, he's always really nice to fans.
That's cool.
He's never rude to people.
No.
No, he's very English, but he's also just himself. He's gracious to people. The thing is that he's not effusive. He's not going to be like putting his arm around
trying
you
to
and
order,
pointing at you and
going,
hey,
order a Big Mac and you fucking accost him.
He was sitting quietly, like nibbling on some grass, and we snuck up on him behind the tree.
You know what? All right, you're kind of creeps at that point.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if I saw Steven Tyler nibbling behind a tree if I would leave. If I might just take a picture from a distance. I don't know if I'd walk up and bother the man.
He was just covered in dappled sunlight coming from the forest trees.
Was he nibbling jauntily?
Found an acorn, you know, and he was very excited, you know, very into what he was doing. No, his right-hand man was standing at a distance, but he was keeping an eye on us to see what we were going to do.
Of course, because you might throw your panties on him.
No, well, you know what? He needed to know if he needed to extricate him or not. But we know his name, so I called out to him, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? And he was like, oh, it's probably Maniac, so he's all right. You know?
Look, you're just throwing that name around. You didn't want to mention it, but without just fucking throwing Maniacs.
Yeah.
Well, now it's out there.
Let everybody know about your secret Facebook group. Like, you're the only ones.
We are.
Ugh. All right. Well, that's been fun. Let's take our first break.
Okay.
On the break, we got new music from Tori Lynn with Lies and Airport Impressions with Faith, and you can learn more about them at deucemusic.com. And when we come back, I'll tell you about a prank that was played on our president.